Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Another week done and dusted. The weekend is here for McDonald's. This is Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome live at ANZ Stadium. It is grand final day. We are on air. We've been on air from midday. We will be off air after the grand final. Post-match interviews, the full game, everything right here on the Triple M network. Maybe you're one of those people that's got to work. Well, make sure you keep it on Triple M all day long. Right now we've got the state championship, Newtown Jets Burley Bears. And at the moment, the Bears lead 4-2 with Hoops, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. We've got a very special guest in. We're going to be grabbing special guests all day long, but we haven't heard from this bloke in this part of the world for so long. He played over 260 first-grade games, about half of those for the Sydney Roosters. Known as Rentakill, Chris Flannery, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Jets. How are we going?
Fantastic, mate. So you've got a pretty high-profile job now in the footy.
Yeah. So I'm the CEO of the Sunshine Coast Falcons, obviously up in Queensland. So, yeah, hopefully we were hoping that we were going to be playing here today. But, yeah, obviously Burley a bit too good for us a few weeks ago. So, yeah, it's great game out here today. And, yeah, hopefully the Burley boys get up.
Do we need to ask who you're going for in the main game? Chris,
yeah, obviously the Chooks, yeah, it's going to be a cracker game. And, yeah, obviously, yeah, mate, it's, you know, great to see the Roosters there. They've been really good over, the season. And, yeah, obviously still got some pretty good ties to the Chooks there.
And you won a premiership with Ricky as the coach, 2002. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, obviously 2002, some great memories. And, yeah, I'm happy that Sticky's there, obviously, with the Raiders. And CS Oliola was at the Roosters with us during that period. So, yeah, I'm happy for those guys. But, yeah, hopefully the Roosters can get over them today.
Geez, that was a great side. Like, you had Adrian Morley, yourself, Mick Crocker, like Freddie Fittler. What a team.
Yeah, it was a team, mate. Yeah, we obviously, Freddie and Brian Fletcher and Luke Rickardson. It was a, you know, really good period. Obviously, 2002, we won it, and then 3-4. Didn't go so well, but yeah, though, it was a great little period for the Roosters at that stage, and yeah, we had an outstanding team, so really good.
Hey, Flannery, take us back to the Queensland Cup. You guys were absolutely outstanding all year. Mate, what happened? You sort of went out in straight sets there in the end.
Yeah, Gordy, mate, we probably just hit a bit of a form slump, probably about a week out from the finals, and yeah, mate, we had a few injuries and a few other things, but yeah, just, mate, we won the minor premiership, obviously, but probably should have taken the foot off the pedal a little bit. You know, we won the minor premiership by about 6 or 7 points, so it was a big big gap. But yeah, no, she was just hit a bit of form at the bad form at the wrong time, mate.
And will we see, you know, some of those players go on to play NRL, you think? Are they in the Melbourne Storm system, for people that don't know?
Yeah, so we're obviously affiliated with the Melbourne Storm, mate, so we've got guys like Harry Grant playing for us, Cooper Johns, obviously. Yeah, we've got some really good players coming back there and playing for the Falcons, mate, so I'm sure that we're going to see a few of those guys pop up. We had Nico Hines, who you would have seen at one stage this year, playing for the Storm. And we've got some really good, talented players coming through that system, mate, and it's a great, the Queensland Cup's a really good system for these players.
Boys, Bears have just scored in the State Cup. Bears 8, Jets 2 for tyre power. They've just scored under the post, the Burley Bears, so they'll probably convert and go up 10-2. But back to you, Chris, just as an aside, I don't know if you realise it's 17 years today since the 2002 final. This very day.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, no, I didn't realise that. But yeah, obviously, it was a great night here at the stadium, and yeah, something that we'll always remember. And yeah, to win it with, you know, a really good group of blokes was outstanding. So yeah, really good memories of obviously that night.
But we all remember what Ricky was like back then. It was his first season as an NRL head coach, and you know, the Roosters had this reputation at the time where you'd been successful, but you hadn't quite been able to take that next step to the promised land. And then Ricky came in, and he just brought this hard edge and this real steely resolve. Was he as intense with you blokes at training and in everything that you did as what he was from what the public saw and the rest of us saw?
Oh, yeah, he was. he was, look, he's an intense character. He just, you know, we all know Sticky just wants to win everything. And that was the first thing that he did when he got to the Roosters at that stage. He, he wanted us to be the fittest team in the competition, and you'll remember that we had that line speed, which was just, ridiculous sort of speed getting off the line, and we did that for about 2 or 3 years, and it took a bit of energy to do that, but yeah, obviously you had to be very fit to be able to do that and keep it up for the full 80 minutes. So that was what Sticky, he really instilled, a really hard edge to us at that time, and we were definitely the fittest team in the competition, and that allowed us to play the way that we did. But, I think after those 3 or 4 years, you'll notice that a lot of those players, we've been going sort of flat stick for 3 or 4 years, and, it did take a bit of a toll on the body. But I think, speaking to Sia Soliola, who's obviously at the Raiders and he was at the Roosters at that time, he said Sticky's really started to, he's a lot more relaxed with his preparation and the way that he gets teams ready now. So, yeah, look, it was good for us at that time. But, yeah, obviously, be interested to see how the boys go today.
I feel like there were so many rumours around, and I was at the Broncos at the time, and we were pretty fit, and I thought we trained really hard. But were you guys doing like 100-100s or something like that? Like on
yeah.
a certain
yeah,
nah?
Yeah, no, we were, but yeah. Oh, I think God. We started. Ronnie Palmer come up with that one. So,
oh, how's that work?
100-100.
Oh, mate, yeah. I think we started about 60 or something, and then built up as the preseason went on. But we ended up getting to 100-100s on the. I think it was about 16 or 17 seconds, and then you obviously had a really small break, and then did it again. But yeah, I think did you boys start doing that, Gordy? I think a few of the other teams started.
I pulled out at 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mate, if I didn't have to run 100, I never run 100 on the field, so why do I need to do these things?
Yeah. No, exactly, mate. But, it was tough at the time, but, yeah, you look back and look at the stuff that you used to do, and, that was probably why we had one of the fittest teams of the comp at that stage.
What was it like as a young bloke and getting to come into first grade in the NRL and then have players like, number one, Freddie Fittler, but then also like a character of the game and an enforcer like Adrian Morley.
Yeah. Oh, look, it was great, obviously, coming into that sort of team. I came down from Queensland at the end of 99 and, was there for a couple of years before we won that comp. But, guys like Mick Crocker, Craig Wing, Anthony Minicello, like we're all sort of just starting to come through at the right time. And obviously, ended with, those couple of, that premiership and then a couple of grand finals. But, playing with guys like Adrian Morley and Craig Fitzgibbon and Luke Ricketson, they demanded, respect, but they demanded that if you were in the team, you were, the best you could be. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was a great team to play in, and we're just lucky, that we had such a great playing group. And then Sticky really brought in, he was the icing on the cake, I suppose.
And I noticed that you didn't name Brian Fletcher there.
We all know Fletch, but he was great to play with Fletch.
He was great on the field, but I tell you what, they reckon some of his best stuff as well was also camaraderie away from.
Oh, most of his off-field stuff was outstanding, yeah. But he's a great team, and we did play hard, but we party pretty hard off the field as well, and I think that's when you're winning, you tend to enjoy it a bit more. But
you've earned the right.
Great.
Well, clear this one up for us, Chris. Was it 2002 or 2003 or 2004? You played one of those grand finals with a pretty significant injury, didn't you?
Thought you were going to go to this. 2004. So before the Bulldogs grand final, obviously we played the prelim final against the Cowboys, and I got a knock in the Crown Jewels pretty early in the game. I think it was my first run of the game, actually. And, obviously kept on playing, and at half time I sort of noticed that it was quite sore, and got to full time and we actually won. I think Finchie kicked a field goal to get us in the grand final and beat the Cowboys by one. But so we're in the grand final, and it was a game. Luke Ricketson actually, he got suspended during that week, and I'd copped this really bad knock in the Crown Jewels. And next morning, wake up after that game, and they were like two big avocados. So I had to go and get ultrasound, and I had a ruptured testicle leading into that the Bulldogs game, the 2004 grand final. So I wasn't going to play. I only got out of hospital, I think, on the Thursday, and Gus Gould was at training, and we sort of started having a chat, and Rico got suspended, I think, on the Wednesday, so we're sort of down a back row, and I had a bit of a run on the Thursday, had a bit more of a run on the Friday, and then obviously by Saturday, which was the day before the grand final, I decided that I was going to play, and we all know what happened. But that hit from Sonny Bill that I copped in that 2004 grand final, which you might have seen, that pretty good shot by Sonny. That was my first run, so I was sort of, after I got hit by that, I wished I was back in hospital. But, it was a fair hit, it was a crazy preparation to go into a grand final, you know. I guess that's what happens in those types of games, but, you know, you just want to get out there.
Looking back, though, you'd have no regrets?
No, definitely not, mate, no. But I've got two beautiful daughters now, so everything's working fine, so... It was some good times.
Anyone who's just joined us, this is Roosters great Chris Flannery, who's joined us at Triple M for a bit of a chat. Chris, so you find yourself now the CEO of a Canterbury Cup side.
Queensland Cup.
I beg your pardon, the Queensland Cup side, which is travelling along very well on the Sunshine Coast. How does an ex-NRL player have that role? I mean, the obvious choice is a coach, but you've obviously got the business acumen to run the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's obviously... I came back from St. Helens at the end of 2012 and just relocated back to my hometown, which is the Sunshine Coast. And luckily enough, we had a Queensland Cup side up there, which were called the Sunshine Coast Seagulls at the time. They were affiliated with Manly, and that... affiliate, we had guys like Daly Cherry Evans and Hodgkinson, and those types of guys won the comp with the Seagulls in 2009 up on the Sunshine Coast. But that affiliation finished, and we sort of went through a really bad period there where we didn't have any NRL affiliation. So I came in 2013, and we obviously spoke to Melbourne Storm, who at the time were affiliated with the Cronulla Sharks, and we just brought them up to the Sunshine Coast. We've got some fantastic facilities up there, Sunshine Coast Stadium, and you know, you would have seen a couple of NRL games there this year, the Warriors and South Sydney. South Sydney's taken a few home games up to the Sunshine Coast. So, yeah, it was they came to me and asked if I'd would want to get involved. Yeah.
Why did they come to you, mate? Do you have a, like, you just got a good head for it, or had a business background?
Not really. I knew a couple of guys who were involved at the time, and they sort of were asking my recommendations on what they should do and players and things like that, and it just sort of grew from there. And the CEO role came up at the same time, and they just asked, I suppose, if I'd be interested, which at the time I said no. I wasn't really keen to step into that role, but after probably about a month or so, I had a bit of a think and spoke to a few people on the Sunshine Coast, and I decided to take it. So that was about mid-2013, so obviously I'm still there now. So it's been a steep learning curve. You know, you come from the playing side and then step onto the other side where you go from that player where you just turn up and train and do your best on the field to actually running the business and budgets and, you know, recruiting and buying players. And there's a lot that obviously goes into it, but it's great being with the Melbourne Storm, and, you know, it's a great affiliation that we've had with the Melbourne Storm since then.
Well, mate, if you ever need a hand with how to punch numbers into a calculator or balance a profit and loss sheet, man right next to you right now, Anthony the Great Maroon, he's all over that sort of thing.
Good on you, Chris.
Very good. No, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to catch up. I was going to see if you wanted to take a step down and do the Gold Coast Titans CEO job, but obviously you've got a better job than that now. Good on you, Chris. Enjoy the afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Go the Chooks.
All right. That's Gordy Tallis, Hoops and Maroon here. And our special guest there has been Roosters legend Chris Flannery, who's flown in from the sunny coast to watch his Roosters go around today. Burley Bears 10, Jets 2 in the State Cup at the moment. Bears 10, Jets 2, and we've got about 3 minutes left in the first half of that game. But very shortly, Big Glenn Lazarus joins us to talk about his day, what he's got to do, what he thinks, who he thinks is going to win. Can his Raiders get up? All that is coming up next as Triple M rocks the grand final. Triple M rocks the NRL grand final live at ANZ Stadium right now. State Cup with a minute to go till half time. It's the Bears 10 leading the Jets 2. Burley Bears 10, Jets 2. Maroon, Gordy Tallis, and Hoops, our special guest right now, played over 250 first grade games, 19 times he played for his state, but most importantly, this chap will be remembered for playing in the maiden grand final wins for the Raiders, the Broncos, and finally the Melbourne Storm. He is the ultimate rugby league grand final hero. Lazo, good to have you in here, mate.
Thanks very much, guys. Yeah. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. Yeah. And I've just been outside the ground, and the Raiders, the lime greens everywhere.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. What team do you support? Raiders, Broncos, Storm, or
whichever
all three?
One's winning, mate. I jump on the bandwagon, did I?
Yeah.
No, look, I've got a special spot, soft spot for the Raiders. It's where I started. It's where I grew up. You know, I've got some wonderful friends that I played with, and of course, you know... it's where it all started for me, you know, with the Raiders and winning grand finals and things. It's very emotional, I think, today, you know, if they can pull it off. A lot of people don't give them much hope, but, you know, in a two-horse race, they've got some sort of chance. And, you know, it was sort of proven 30 years ago when we played Balmain. I didn't think too many people gave us a chance of winning that game, but who knows? Funny things have happened, and it'll be great for the community and the fans if they do pull it off. It's 25 years has been too long.
Laz, I played with and against you, and the theory was in rugby league that you couldn't win a grand final until you had someone like you, like Glenn Lazarus, playing. What made you such a great winner?
I always say it's the people I have around me. You know, I've just been very fortunate to have so many wonderful people around me. Look, Tim Sheens was great for me. He was my first grade coach. You know, and having the players that I play with in that team. You know, and then I'll go to the Broncos and I got Wayne Bennett as the coach, and I've got Alf and Kevy and, you know, Pearl, and just the list goes on. I've just been very, very lucky in regards to the teams I've played with. But I don't know, mate. I don't want to let people down, and I don't certainly don't want to let teammates down. So every time I put on the footy boots, I tried to do as best I could, because I know at times, you know, you'd lose a game, but because you'd played and you've done your role, it wasn't as bad. You know, it wasn't the end of the world. But if you played bad and you lost, you know, that's just unacceptable. So I just tried to, you know, do my best for the people I was playing with.
You often hear good judges, Lazo, say that forwards win big games. For you as a front rower, like, what were the fundamentals, what were the principles that going into big games you knew exactly you had to do right? That was your role.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, playing with those teams made my job easier in regards to, I knew if I played well and did my job, I was going to get rewards because of the players I had, you know, that were going to take benefits from it, you know, the back lines and so forth. But I always, in big games like this, I always made sure the first thing I did, whether it was a tackle or a hit up or whatever, it was the best thing I did all game. Because your game just goes on from there. If you take a hit up and you get put on your back, and, you know, it was a very, you know, poor and soft run, you struggle to sort of get back into the game. You miss a tackle, you sort of start thinking about it, and there's all this negativity going on. So, you know, that'd be a piece of advice I'd give anybody. You know, the first thing you do in a game, make sure it's the best thing, because your game just goes on from there. But the other thing is not to complicate things, you know. I mean, you know, we're going to see probably two of the best front rows in the game, Papali and Warra Hargraves here, and they'll have an important role to play tonight. And, you know, they'll go out and hopefully, you know, both of them have good games and get their side forward. Whilst I think we complicate the game a bit these days, you know. I think Jack Gibson said to us back in 89, 90 in the State of Origin, he's, you know, if you run hard and tackle hard, you know, you sort of nearly won the battle, you know. If you just very basic things, and if you get those right, well, everything else will flow on.
And speaking of some of the great teams that you played in, you've had a massive week. Like, we saw you in at Fox Sports during the week, and then I think Friday was at Laurie Daly's Harbour Cruise.
Yeah, that was great.
Lottie in 1989 and 1994 team. Mate, talk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, it was great. We had players turn up that I hadn't seen in a long time. Clinton Shevkovsky was there, Steve Libri. Some people may remember Steve. He was a Wallaby that came to us in the late 80s, early 90s. He's a great guy, and we saw that in the... And, of course, we all had to get up and sing the Green Machine song. And, yeah, it was just a wonderful afternoon and got quite emotional. I think the fact that the Raiders are actually in it this year made it all the more emotional. And, yeah, Laurie enjoyed himself, let me tell you. He enjoyed himself. And so did all of us, but especially Laurie.
Lazo, but of the club sides that you played for, and they were, as I say, the maiden premiership in all those clubs. But I think one of the things that gets overlooked a little bit, that Melbourne Storm side that won the premiership were only in their second year in the NRL.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Look, I've done, you know, thousands of public speaking gigs, you know, since I retired in the last 20 years. And I try to, you know, emphasise that as best I can. But I think it sort of goes over people's heads a bit. You know, 2 years... And winning it is certainly... I mean, I always try to explain it. If you started a business today, no matter what sort of business, and then within 2 years you're the number one in that business. Mm. Yeah, business people would certainly know that's unheard of, and we managed to get out. That year, 99, was a bit, there was no clear, I think this year we had a clear top four and the rest, but I think in 99 it was any one of 8 or 10 teams could have won it, and we were just lucky enough to come together and play some good footy at the right time. And and the emotion that I speak about after that game is just disbelief. The fact that we've won it in only our second year. Mm. Yeah. It was unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I could talk for hours about how we tried to, convince the Melbourne and Victorian people to, jump on the Melbourne Storm and stuff like that. It was amazing 2 years to be involved. Mm.
Do you ever want to go out there and try to do that cartwheel again?
I don't know. I probably just roll around on the ground. That's about all I can get out these days. Let me tell you. And if I tried, I'd probably leave a big dent in the ground. That was just a spur of the moment thing. All the the emotion and euphoria of winning the comp and watching Anthony Mundine and Nathan Blacklock. Doing all those wonderful backflips and things. I thought, I'll do my best. And I did it. Pulled out a cartwheel. Anyway.
Must feel like yesterday, mate, sitting here looking out on there. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. They had the old grandstand here. So we had 107,000 in there that day. Mm. And I got to say, it ran out on the field and we got a pretty good cheer. But geez, when St George ran out, it was just deafening. You could tell there was obviously a lot more St George. But as I say, two horse race. It's anyone's game.
Do you have a favourite grand final?
Well, the one that I get more emotional about than any is 89. It was obviously my first, and as I say, I grew up in that area, and the guys that were in the side, a lot of them were locals, and a lot of them, I knew Ricky as a little fella because we played in the same junior club. There were juniors, Clydie, Chrissy O'Sullivan, Laurie was just up the road from Junie, came to the Raiders as a 16-year-old. There was a lot of, and those bonds have never been broken. Like, as you said on Friday, when I saw Mal and Gary Belcher, Ashley Gilbert, Gary Coyne, the McDonald's magnate, Gary McDonald now, but it was you just hug each other because the bonds and what we went through to win that grand final. So it's the most emotional one, the one that pleased me the most, well, not pleased me the most, but I felt most satisfied with was 99. As I say, 2 years in the competition, we sort of went down there as, pioneers in regards to rugby league, trying to get a franchise up and running in Melbourne, which was very difficult. Getting any media and stuff down there from local media was just really tough to get. They just didn't want a bar of us. They had this weird attitude that we were trying to take over the AFL, and all that. I mean, obviously, we never were going to, but they had this attitude. I mean, they couldn't get a score read out on the news, on a Sunday after a Sunday game. So it was Monday morning. You had to read it in the papers. It was really weird. But we slowly but surely, and of course the key was winning. If we did what the Titans do, and win three games a year, well, Melbourne may not even be there. Winning is pretty important thing in regards to, keeping a franchise going. And we did it. And Craig Bellamy's taken it to a whole new level now with the professionalism and the, and the winning and all that. It's been great. It's been great to watch.
And it's been great to catch up with you, Lazo. We love you, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the memories.
Much. My pleasure. And sorry, look, I know I pull out the old, I was a front rower, so I got excuses. But of course, stupid me didn't wind the clock forward, did I?
So
that's why I was a bit late. Sorry, guys.
No worries, mate.
Sorry.
You are excused.
No worries. Listen, final day. Go and enjoy it.
Yeah. If Maroon's going to say anything, he's going to wait till you're back in your seat. Because he just stabs everybody in the back.
Lazo, he won't be around much longer, so we're looking.
All right, I'll leave that alone.
Good to catch up with you, mate.
Thanks very much.
Sunday Triple M NRL, it's our grand final day. Bears 10, Jets 2 in the halftime of the State Cup. So that's the winners of the Queensland Cup versus the winners of the Canterbury Cup. Jets 2, but the Bears lead the game on 10. 10-2 at halftime. That's been Glenn Lazarus joining Hoops, Scotty Tallis and Maroon. We're back with more as Triple M rocks the grand final. Triple M rocks the NRL grand final live at ANZ Stadium, where we've got the State Cup at the moment. 3 gone second half. Bears 10, Jets 2. We've got Hoops, we've got Gordon Tallis, we've got Maroon. We're joined by one of our city's premier rugby league writers and journalists and all-round good guy. You know the man, Brent Reed, from The Australian. Hello, Reedy.
Geez, you're kind today, Maroon.
I know, mate, I know.
Have you been?
Well, no one's ever kind to me, so I'm thinking...
That's true.
I'll just
you do get
that's not true, Anthony.
You heard me sing the national anthem.
Did you do it?
Oh, it was outstanding.
Mate, yeah.
Is he going to go to Port Macquarie and put the gym out?
No, no. God, strike me. No, I am not going.
Is it Port Macquarie?
He did not.
No, I don't think he's going to relive that one. But in fairness, right, he went down onto the field. He was on the turf of ANZ Stadium. They cranked it up, and he put on a rousing rendition.
Yeah. Can I see that on Instagram, or is there somewhere I can see that?
Oh, it's on there.
All right, beautiful.
I'm going on that show where the chairs spin around, The Voice.
Oh, The Voice.
Yeah,
well, you maybe could. Yeah, what's that other one?
Or Australia's Got No Talent.
I reckon you should be. You should be on The Mask. You could get on The Mask.
The Mask Singer.
Yeah, yes, yeah. The Mask Singer.
You could be the new
Ryan. I think you got to be famous to get on The Mask.
Yes, that was Wendell.
Well,
yes,
I am now. I might go in there dressed up as Wendell Saylor. Anyway, the Bears are broken free. 30 to go, the little halfback. He's got support with him. He gets a pass out to the winger. This will take the Bears out. If they get there, they do.
He's over.
This will take the Bears out to 14-2. Now, I just wanted to update the weather before we go on to you, Reedy, because people are heading out here now for the grand final with the kids. Mostly cloudy morning, increasing sunny periods during the afternoon. Light winds becoming north to northeasterly, but no talk of rain. No talk of rain for today, so that's good. Bit of good news there. Beautiful out here today, a little bit overcast. Reedy, you've got the team for... You've got the Australian...
I haven't got the Australian team, no, Maureen. That's incorrect. I've had a stab at the Australian team. I've got some updates on who's in and who's
that's
out.
That's our producer.
When's it announced, Reedy?
It's announced tomorrow. I think they'll name probably a squad of 20.
Mm.
But they've got some problems because Dave Clemmer's out.
Yep.
Obviously, Tommy Trbojevic is out. Michael Morgan's out. And Felice Kaufusi, as I understand it, is out as well.
Wow.
Why is Dave Clemmer out?
Well, I don't know, but he is out, apparently. I think it's to do with that wrist.
Yeah, okay, he might have had a little bit of surgery or something.
Kaufusi's got the cracked rib that he did towards the end of the year. So he's got some injury problems, Mel. He's a bit short sort of in the front row because Papali will be named, but he's yet to decide who he's going to play for, Josh Papali, whether he plays for Australia or Samoa. So Mel's got some headaches.
All right, what about November 1?
Hang on, before we go to November 1.
Yep.
So let's listen to your side then, Reedy. Let's have a...
Want to name a team?
Well, let's go over
okay,
the...
Well, we'll name a 20.
Yep.
Okay, so Tedesco's
obviously the fullback. Yeah, who we got on the wing?
I think Josh Adokar and maybe... I think Blake Ferguson will be in the squad. So Adokar, Gagai, Ferguson.
Dane Gagai not available or...
No, Gagai there.
Okay.
I'm saying part of it. They'll just name a squad of 20, as I understand it.
Yep.
Centres, I think, will be Mitchell and Whiten.
Yep.
I think they'll name Keary and Munster.
Okay.
DCE will be the half.
Yep.
The Papali will get named, but as obviously he hasn't made a decision yet of what he's doing. Cook's a hooker.
Yep.
I think Dale Finucane will be in there.
Yep.
Jakey Trbojevic, Boyd Cordner, Tyson Frizzell, Cam Murray.
Yep.
Ben Hunt, Josh Maguire. And the big one for me is Payne Haas. I think Payne Haas is going to be in there. I don't think they wanted particularly to pick Payne Haas. I think they want to bring him through slowly, but... They've got so many problems in the front row and in the middle that I think they basically haven't got a choice. I think Haas will be there in the extended squad. And then I think Woods and Vaughan are sort of floating around the periphery.
That's still a very strong squad.
Mm.
Like I know, obviously, there are some issues in the front row in terms of availability and whatnot. And Josh Papali's still got to make a call whether he plays for the Kangaroos or whether he plays for Samoa. But irrespective... That is still a very, very strong squad on paper.
Well, it's a great backline, isn't it? Teddy, Latrell, Jack Whiten.
Yep.
You know, Keary or Munster at six.
Talk me through Ben Hunt. Like they're obviously looking at him as the utility.
Yeah.
But, is that based on origin form rather than back end of the season form? Or?
Well, it's got to be, doesn't it? Given the way he sort of played towards the back end of the year.
You would have thought
but
so.
But they do like him. I think Mel likes the fact he can play hooker and half.
Versatile, yeah.
And that's a real string in his bow. So I think that's why Ben Hunt will be. And we know Mel's loyal.
Yep. Is that why we see Josh, like Josh Maguire? Yeah. He obviously hasn't played in the finals and was suspended towards the back half of the year because of those repeated eye gouges.
Yeah, well, again, that's Mel's loyalty, isn't it? I think Maguire's part of the extended squad, so that's an example of Mel sort of showing loyalty to the guys who've done it for him before.
All right, boys, that State Cup try, Burley Bears, that try was disallowed, so still Bears 10, Jets 2. We'll move on now to November 1 looming and the possibility of what players might be signing with other clubs. Any mail there, Reedy?
Well, it was Alex Glenn was down in Sydney last week, met with Penrith. So he's a guy Brisbane want to keep, but he's obviously looking at his options, and Penrith are a realistic one. Look, I think Zach Lomax, the guy, is of interest to a lot of clubs at the moment, and if he's not extended by November 1, I think Canberra and the West Tigers will be having a red hot go at him.
Bulldogs.
What would be the issue there? You would think if they're light on anything, the Dragons, it's backs.
Well, I don't think it's an issue. I don't think it's the Dragons don't want to keep him. I think it's just there's other clubs who are really interested in him, and he hasn't really found a spot at the Dragons yet, has he? The interesting one for me come November 1 is Latrell Mitchell. Remember there was all that talk early in the year about Latrell and, you know, he's going to be the next million-dollar man. Well, it's all gone quiet, and Latrell hasn't done a deal at the Roosters yet.
Mm. Yep.
So come November 1, I'm really keen to see what happens there if the Roosters can't tie him up before then.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised, and we reported this earlier in the year, Reedy.
Mm.
The Bulldogs are sitting back and waiting, and I get the impression that at the right time, which will obviously be November 1, I think we'll see them enter the equation big time here. They've identified Latrell as a player that they believe can be instrumental in helping them take their club to where they want to get to. And as much as everybody tried to deny it and poo-poo it in the middle of the season, there were approaches made and there has been dialogue going on for some time. And, you know, with respect to the Sydney Roosters, you don't see the Roosters ever let a player go, or rarely. Mm. With perhaps Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's probably a good example in recent seasons where they lost a player that they wanted to keep, but then immediately they went out and they bought James Tedesco.
Mm.
I get the impression that the Roosters have got a figure in their heads that they're prepared to go to with Latrell and where they see him standing in the game, and if he's not prepared to accept those terms, then I think, you know, we might see a change in that respect.
Well, the other really interesting one's a bloke at your club, Maroon, Cody Walker.
Yep.
Because I think Cody's got a chance to get a payday. He hasn't got many contracts left in him, Cody. I think he's got a real chance to payday. And I'm not sure South are willing to go. They won't extend themselves out, you know, beyond reach for Cody Walker.
So you haven't heard any talk linking Latrell Mitchell to Souths?
Well, there was a lot of talk about it, but they didn't have the salary cap space for him. Mm. They don't have it at the moment. Now, if Cody Walker happens to leave, I mean, suddenly that frees up some cash for him if he goes a year early.
Doesn't Greg Inglis... Mate, that's a massive hole. The Greg Inglis money has to be at South, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the Greg Inglis money, Gordy, I think most of that was spent on Jimmy the Jet, is that right?
And Jaden Sewer.
Yeah, and then also going into the market and getting Jaden Sewer from the Broncos as well. So I think they've virtually accounted for all of that. The other interesting one, aside from Cody Walker at the Bunnies, Reedy, will also be the future of Sammy Burgess. Like, we saw big Sammy, he was clearly playing busted towards the back end of this season. We're going to have to... I think that there's still a lot of question marks about whether he needs to go and have some further surgery and how long he could be out for if that happens, whether he's going to take part in this test series with Great Britain. Obviously, we know Wayne will be the coach.
Well, Wayne's got a meeting with him this week, Hoops, about the Great Britain side, and I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls...
I don't think he'll be able to make himself available for selection for that. But then in the bigger picture beyond that... You know, whether he requires further surgery and has to have more time on the sidelines, or who knows?
Well, I mean, he plays so tough, Sam, and just watching the last month, and I know that he had some time out too with those suspensions. He just looked injured, didn't he? Like his shoulders, and he couldn't get himself off the ground a lot. And if you have a photo of him when he first came out as a 21-year-old to a photo now, you know, the size that he's lost, you know, sort of up around the shoulders as well. So, you know...
It wouldn't surprise me.
He squeezed a lot out of the orange, that kid.
Wouldn't surprise me at all, Gordy, if he plays 12 more months and then gives it away, Sam.
Yeah. Right.
All right, boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back and get your thoughts on this game between the Roosters and the Raiders. And, of course, Triple M is on air right through till kickoff time. Dan will call the game, then we'll have a post-match for you. So wherever you are, you can listen to the call on the Triple M network. Burley Bears 16, Jets 2 in the State Cup. 9 gone second half. We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the grand final. Sunday Triple M NRL live at the grand final where the Bears lead the Jets 16-6 in the State Championship, the State Cup. 16-6 Bears lead the Jets. That score thanks to Tyre Power. Go and see Tyre Power for your tyres. Maroon Hoops, Gordy Tallis, and joined by our voice of rugby league in Brisbane, the great Ben Dobbin, who is here to do sideline for the grand final. Hello, Dobbo.
How are we? Excited about grand final. How good is it?
Yeah, we're pumped. You saw the boys arrive at the Pullman from the Raiders.
Yeah, unbelievable. Canberra, they're here. They just arrived at the Pullman. Obviously, they're staying there tonight, and then they'll get on the team bus a little later and arrive here at the grounds, but all very excited.
Who do you like to win this one, mate?
I am 100% categorically going for the Raiders. They need to win today.
Right. So, but do you think they'll win or you just love them to win?
No, I have a very big bet that is...
With Gordon Tallis?
That's correct.
Gordon, who do you think will win?
Oh, me? I hope the Raiders. I hope
but who
the
do
Raiders
you think?
With all my... You know what? I just love rugby league. And I know it's going to sound a bit wishy-washy, but I love it. And I think for the game... It would be amazing if the Raiders win. And my 15-year-old son, Ethan, he's been a member now for 10 years, and it's made us bond a lot over the last sort of 12 months because the Raiders are going good. And every time he gets in the car, it's a 20-minute chat on Papali, Big Papa or whatever. And so I just hope that the Raiders will win for the game. And if the Roosters do well, congratulations. To go back-to-back, so many great teams and great players have tried it. And it's so hard to do. And my mate Lyndon from Apricity Finance, he's going to the game. And I got a good bet with him too.
So tell us about this bet you got with Dobbo, mate.
Well, Dobbo one day said the Broncos will win the grand final. I said the Cowboys will.
This is in 2015.
Yeah.
So I won't tell how much money it was. It was $500.
I was very unlucky. 40 seconds away from that bet coming true.
Yeah.
True.
Okay.
And then he goes, okay. And the Raiders will win the comp within the next 5 years. Well, I laughed at him and said, I'll take that one too.
So if Dobbo wins, if the Raiders
so
win
when,
today...
When Brisbane lost the grand final in the last 40 seconds, we all know, thank you, Ben Hunt, I said, righto, double or nothing over the 5 years. So tonight, if the Raiders do lose, Gordon will get a gorilla next week. If not, I'm square and free to run. And it'll, you know... Can I put food on the table with my kids next week? Probably not if I lose this bet tonight. But
well, listen,
you know
you got to stop eating all their food, by the way.
What a rude. Oh,
mate, you must be on the same sort of. You must be on the same sort of frame.
Oh, hey, listen, myself
you
and Dobbo.
The
listen. There's a couple of things in common. When we'd go down to Triple M in Sydney and Court, we would have probably about 20 dumplings each. And then he's the only man that I've seen eat pizza, and he folds it in half. He had two pieces of food, and he ate it like a sandwich.
It was years ago, and he's never let it go away.
Yeah. Well, you call that a calzone. That's a calzone. Anyway, I think that's just about it for me. I'm out of here. Nathan Brown will join you next with Tony Squires. I think Wendell's coming in as well. Hoops, it's been a pleasure working with you this year.
Thanks for an outstanding season, Maroon. Loved every minute of it. We'll be back to do it all again next year.
I will continue to mentor you in the off-season.
It's been outstanding. Two-way street. Yeah, never seen it look better.
Gordon, we will see you next year, mate.
Thank you, Anthony, and thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. Fantastic.
No worries,
enjoy
mate.
The
and
year.
We'll see
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you
Thanks,
up next. Nathan Brown comes in, Tony Squires, Wendell and a few more of the boys, and we'll continue this right on till kickoff where Dan Ganane will take over and call the grand final. Raiders Roosters live on Triple M as we rock the grand final.
Round 9, Remus Smith.
19 out, they go left side, Ponga, Pierce, intercepted by Remus Smith, away, he's being chased by Gavet, here comes Connor Watson, here comes Ponga, but he's over the 30, and they're not going to catch Remus, oh, beautiful intercept, one end to the other, Remus Smith.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app, thanks to Ream, steady, hot and strong, install a Ream.